Yes, Father God, we give you praise and thanks this morning for Luke. We give you praise and thanks, Lord, for his willingness, Lord, to serve you in this way. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll speak through Luke to us, that you'll open our hearts, that you'll open our minds to your word, Lord. Father God, that you might be glorified, that we might go out these doors this morning knowing a bit more about you and being able to share with others. All praise and glory go to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. All right. And again, morning, everyone. So, it's been on my heart for a little bit. And when I say a little bit, a few months. And I have brought it up a few times, but I keep coming back to it because we live in the most incredible time. We can count ourselves so blessed to bear witness to the things we have to cope with on a daily basis. Okay, maybe we're a little bit more sheltered here in the crags than in cities, but the bombardments every day are increasing. And what with increased demands on our lives, with cell phones, things buzzing in our faces all the time, there's a lot we need to filter through, and not a lot of time to do it in. As you know, I am in IT support, and I am seeing more and more phishing scams. So phishing scams is when you get an email, a nice link in there, urgent, please click this for your bank refund. You click it, opens a page, and you have to put all of your nice personal information there. You click the send button, and that's you done. They've got your personal information. Chances are they can maybe access your bank account. They can apply for bank accounts using your details. It's a mess. There's also the obligatory African prince that comes through every now and again to bless you with your inheritance. I would just like to urge you that those who think they have a few thousand rand coming in for an inheritance for some long-lost resident relative that lives somewhere.
You know, it'll be someone who says that's close to
yes. Don't fall for it. Okay. The problem is we now add into the mix modern technologies. So beforehand, there would be a couple of spelling mistakes, things that looked a little bit weird, you could catch on pretty quickly. Introducing AI. Now all they need to do is just type something into ChatGPT and it spits out a nice thing and they just add a link in here. It looks professional, it looks sound, but it isn't. It's so difficult to tell apart legitimate communication from the other side of it. How many of you have got those WhatsApp scams? Hi, please pay 14 Rand to release your parcel from the post office. Yeah, and you haven't done online shopping for a while. It's interesting. But we're kept so busy that these things come into our inboxes, they come onto our phones, and we're so busy that we just skim read them and think, oh, okay, let me just get this out of the way, let's just do it. You click on it, and before you know it, your impatience has got the better of you. And while these deceptions can cost us financially and sometimes emotionally, it's nothing new. And it's not unlike spiritual deception. In fact, they are very, very closely linked. Messages that we receive, videos that we watch, so many of them are filled with deception, false teachings, and sometimes employing emotional tactics. They get us to perhaps part with money. They try and shift our focus, that 1% off the true gospel of Christ. It's a similar gospel that is preached, but not the gospel that Jesus preached during his ministry. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3 leads us to this point. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. and in talking to the church in Laodicea, warning them in Colossians 2, verse 4. Now, this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Is that not what they're doing? One way we can avoid spiritual deception is by being committed to a loving, Christ-centered, and Bible-centered church. Now, I'm not saying this to convince you. I'm not trying to convince you that you have to necessarily be committed to this church. I'm not telling you that you have to be here every single Sunday or else. But I'm saying this because I urge you to be aware of what is said up here every single week. Is it something that sits well with you? Is it something that just tickles your ears and makes you feel good? Or is it something that brings you closer to Christ? And I say this in a loving and understanding way. If I can share with you something that a little light bulb went on in my head on Wednesday evening at our fellowship evening, really made me think. Because I pray often for wisdom, because who doesn't want wisdom, right? And you go through the days and you think, where's my wisdom, Lord? I'm praying. Like I say, James 1 verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. It hit me. My prayers have been abundantly answered. I have wisdom in spades. And this wisdom, it comes from those around me. It comes from my brothers and sisters that I share with in fellowship. I'm constantly amazed at how God reveals and unfolds his will for us as we share together. And also how seemingly small things can go awry if we're not opened, and if things are not opened and discussed properly. And in doing this, if we discuss things properly, it leaves little room for deception. And praying together, because as in Ephesians 6:12, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness and of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly places. Prayer is our direct communication with the Father through the Son. And in doing so, we get to keep the evil one at bay. And at the same time, we get to hold each other up. And I say we get to, because it is a privilege to be in a relationship with our brothers and sisters. To avoid being deceived, center yourself on Scripture. Because man has a habit of adding a self-serving agenda. And it's all too easy to misquote Scripture, to excuse or prove something that may not be quite so biblical. I've said it so often, be like the Bereans. Read, study, arm yourself with the sword of the word. Trust that prickly feeling the Holy Spirit gives you when something is not right. And back it up with Scripture. Don't trust me on this. Trust the unbending word of God. If we can take a quick look at where we are in our walk, how we can identify where deceit comes from. As a new Christian, a newly forgiven creature, we are told in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Because we are new, we are vulnerable. We can even liken ourselves to a newborn lamb. Our walk is fresh. We may not be wise in the ways of the devil. And we can be lied to in believing that we are not good enough, that we are not worthy of love, not worthy of acceptance. Anything, any excuse can be used again to get us to turn away from the repentance and to turn away from the Lord. But every single one is important. God seeks us all. We are all the lost sheep that he is trying to bring home. We are important to the flock. and not just the flock because it happens to be my surname. Stay close to strong Christian brothers and sisters to hold you up. You are good enough. And why? Because Jesus loves each and every one of you dearly and desperately. Then we mature and the tactics start to change. We get things thrown in our path to derail us in a different way. We are attacked in wealth, false doctrines, false ideologies. We are attacked in health. You name it. Anything to distract us or to steer us off the straight and narrow. And then when we're solid Christians, no hope of derailment whatsoever, I'll never turn from Jesus, right? Have you ever been in a situation where you are faced with a very difficult choice? So you sit and think, but none of these choices, the two options that you come up with, none of them have a fruitful long-term solution. Take a step back. What do we do? First port of call, pray. Prayer is the biggest weapon, and it is the best place to be in. It is our direct communication with the Father. You sang earlier, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. Show me the best way forward. Don't act off base instincts if you're not sure. If you have an idea, but you're still not convinced, if you still need confirmation on your decision, pull a brother or sister aside. Seek their counsel. Others may have a different perspective. They may have a different piece of the puzzle that actually fits instead of the one you're trying to force into place. They may form part of the confirmation you need to know that what you are doing is the right thing, or what you're doing may not be the right thing to do. Look at the long-term goal. Look past your nose. How will my actions today affect the long-term outcome? Short-term wins, that's exactly what they are. You're winning in the short term, you're losing in the long term. Act out of faith. Whatever the need, be it money, support, if you need direction, if there is a doctrine you're battling with, if there are false teachings, whatever it is, if we seek God's help on anything, we just need to pray. We need to ask for it. The Lord will provide the solution. And like me asking for wisdom for myself, the Lord may not have provided me with all the wisdom, but He has provided wisdom in those that I fellowship with. God puts us where He wants us. Never forget that. Don't listen to the chatter of the world. You are where you are. If you feel you need to move, if you feel you need a change, ask. So going back to something I mentioned earlier, this is this very small thing called Jesus' ministry. I took a quick look at Mark 1 and 3. But let's just skim through a little bit of Mark 1 just to see how the ministry started. So it started with John the Baptist baptizing people in repentance for the remission of sins. Now, this was not normal. Back then, baptism was used when there was a change in someone's life. If you were joining an order, like the Pharisees or the Sadducees, you were baptized into that order. A non-Jew, a Jew converting to Judaism, they would be baptized because they were effectively joining something else. Never before had it been done that the Jews were baptized to repentance. This was a radical change, and it was a huge departure in the Jewish tradition. Jesus was baptized by John, but he was not baptized for remission of sin. He was blameless, and he was sinless. He was baptized to show support for John's ministry, to begin his mission to bring his message of salvation, but also to identify with our humanness and with sin. The Holy Spirit then drove him off into the wilderness for 40 days, where he was tempted by Satan, and where angels ministered to him. Actually, I love that picture of Jesus sitting in the wilderness being ministered to by the angels. Reminds me of us holding each other up in prayer. And Jesus was finally offered the world, but he understood the deceits of Satan's temptation because he knew the will of the Father and what his mission was. No short-term solutions here. It's the long-term goal. This is how Jesus' ministry started: overcoming the deceitful nature of Satan, and then going forth to preach the gospel. If we go through Mark 3, verses 1 to 6, we'll see another interesting example of overcoming deceit with wisdom. Something we should really, really take note of. We'll start from verse 1. And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. Sorry, this all took place on the Sabbath. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or evil, to save a life or to kill?" But the Pharisees kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. How prideful. What happened here? What did Jesus do? He did what was right. He did what was righteous. Obviously, he's the Messiah. He was angry at the uncaring attitude of the Pharisees, that they would take law over what is right. Anger itself isn't wrong. It's more what makes us angry, but also how we deal with that anger. Jesus expressed his anger by correcting the problem through healing. Let's look again at what we have at our disposal to steer clear of deceit. Being a Christian definitely doesn't mean that we will never be deceived. Sorry about that. Being a Christian definitely doesn't mean that we will never be deceived. It is quite the opposite. Because we are saved, the serpent wants us unsaved. Not sure if you've noticed on our WhatsApp group, it's changed its name a couple of months ago to CFC Fellowship. And then on a Wednesday evening, we have a fellowship evening. This is one of the best ways not to be led astray, through fellowship. This is talking openly with Christ-minded brothers and sisters, where we go to seek guidance, where we seek counsel when things are unclear. We speak into each other's lives with love and with kindness. Seeking fellowship is something we should be doing with Jesus daily, multiple times a day, whenever you want to. If you're busy doing a little bit of work, have a chat. He is there, he is listening, he is omnipresent, he is omniscient. Jesus didn't do it alone. He was in constant companion with the Father. Paul, in his ministry, he was not alone. There was constant communication with the broader church. Otherwise, how would he have known to write letters to the church in Ephesus and then Colossus and Ephesus? Ephesus, that word. He had his finger on the pulse of the sweeping movement of the gospel of Jesus Christ because he was in fellowship with the other apostles and other Christ-minded people. How can you exercise discernment if you are not checking with our Creator? And how can we get confirmation if we are not in communion and in fellowship with our brothers and sisters? We live in a time when things are coming thick and fast, when Satan is running out of time, and deception has fast become the order of the day. Be open with each other. Be humble. Be gracious. Be kind. Be loving. But also, I urge you to be firm. Be bold. Seek righteousness. Like that song, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all his blessings will be added unto you." So when we're done here, we have a wonderful thing at the back there called a fellowship station, where we can spend a little bit of time reflecting on this, and we can fellowship with each other, we can talk to each other, we can speak into each other's lives. There are things that we can discuss. What did we learn here today? Was it something that was good? Are there a couple of things that are maybe not sitting well? How do we know unless we discuss, unless we fellowship with each other? Something that we all need to take heed of and we all need to think very hard about. So I said, time is short. We were talking this morning in pre-service prayer about how we should be praying not just into this church. And we should be praying into this church. We have 67 seats in this place. We've counted. We're short a few souls. Let us be the light of the world. Let us be, as Karen said, if we are the only Bible that people read, let's open ourselves up and let people see through us the glory of Jesus. I hope so. I really do. So if there is anything that any of you have a need of, if there's anything that you need prayer for in your life, in work, health, finances, whatever it may be, we are here. I urge you, come up. We can pray for you. We can talk with you. We can do what is in our capacity to counsel you. If you have questions about our Messiah, let's talk about them. So if I can just close, just in a moment of prayer. Lord, we stand here before you in your church. We are your people. Lord, I pray for an uplifting of all of our souls. Give us boldness, give us righteousness, Lord. We have gifts that you have bestowed upon us. Allow us to use them. Allow us to witness to others for your glory and what you have done, for your finished work on the cross. Lord, that you are coming again. And Lord, that time is short. And it's not about being saved before you come. It's about being saved before it is too late in our lives. Every single second is precious. Every single soul is precious. Every soul that is not saved, they are like that one lost lamb that we need to hunt out and we need to seek and we need to bring them into your fold. Lord, I pray a blessing on every single one here, Lord. May you keep us. May you keep us strong. May you keep us unfearful for anything that is thrown at us. Grant us wisdom, Lord, to deal with every situation that we are faced with when we need to make very, very serious decisions. May we not take your work lightly. Let us not be flippant about your mission of the gospel. It is good news. In fact, it's not good news, Lord. It is great news that you have offered us the gift of everlasting life through your Son, Jesus Christ, who took all of our sins in one blow. And that is how much you love each and every one of us. Lord, I praise your precious name and bless you. Amen.
Amen.